Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You know, weddings, get-togethers, family reunions, things of that nature. It tends to be a place where a lot of families consume some adult beverages. Usually, it stays somewhat under control.
And today, we've got a story of what sounds like a drunk sister who showed up drunk at her wedding and decided to make a scene.
Yeah, it's something that maybe not is so forgivable. We'll see if she's able to do so today on My Crazy Family.
My
crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My
crazy.
Family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts and share your crazy family stories with us. You can write in on the website crazyfampod.com. The slot is right there for you to fill out the form and share your story with us completely anonymously, or call 833-CRAY-FAM. That's 833-272-9326 to share your family's crazy stories with us. I even got a chance right now for you to win a $500 Amazon gift card, right?
Yeah, and actually, this is really cool. All you need to do is leave us a review. It would be great if it was a nice review. Let's put it that way. Take a screenshot of that review and then send it to contest@crazyfampod.com. We're going to be drawing that, I'm assuming, right before the end of the year. So you can, you know, spend it however you'd like on Christmas presents, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever works for you.
Airline tickets to get far away from your family. Something
that
like
too.
That. Gas. Yeah, whatever you need. Therapy, yeah. Therapy. That would cover a couple sessions. So,
oh, you know, depending, there's a lot of really good online therapists that charge like $100. So that's 5 sessions.
There you go. That would be great. We give away that. It'll be a fun one sometime. We're giving away therapy.
You know, hey, there is a sponsorship idea. Better health.
I love it. Well, that's down the road. That's on the list. Yeah. So lots of craziness on today's episode of the program. Let's jump into it.
Well, our first one, I'm going to share a little personal story as well, because I can relate to this just a little bit. The first story says, I called my mom for her birthday today to see how her day went. I had a long work day where I was swamped. I didn't get a chance earlier to call her. So I called this evening. First of all, I can't stand silence over the phone, so I'll randomly spout off topics and talk to fill the empty space instead of just ending the call. Mm-hmm. Well, my mom and I don't have the best relationship. She has no filter and can and does say mean things sometimes. She's very judgmental and can be rude. She's 55, but even at a younger age, she was like this. And even with this, we talk on the phone a few times a week for 30 minutes to an hour. Not every time, but sometimes I feel like, why did I call? Or why did I answer her call if I know she's going to get in her jabs about how she doesn't agree with my lifestyle?
Yep.
It's like she's pushing to see if I fight back. I don't always stand up for myself, but sometimes I do when I think she needs to be put in her place. If I get off the phone and feel worse after talking to her, the big question is, why do I do it?
Yeah.
Why? Oh my God, do I understand that? My mom and I had a great relationship when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And we've really fallen apart in the last probably 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah.
And I see a text from her or I see a call, and immediately I just get this lump in the pit of my stomach. And it's like, do I even want to engage with her? Uh-huh. So I totally get how this person feels.
Yeah. And then they wonder, like, why don't you talk more? Why don't we? Because every time we talk, you just criticize everything I say or do. And it's just, yeah, it's maddening. And it seems to, it's not necessarily something that you can change, because you're, I mean, you're just expressing and sharing stories of your life. So you can make some things off topic or off limits of what you're going to talk about and set those bounds, which is the right thing to do. But at some point you're like, what do we have to talk about? If you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you, over the weekend, I got a text from my mom. I had posted, and I'm when we were in radio, we were forced to be on Facebook several times a day to interact with the listeners. So I've tried to pull back on Facebook as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Just for personal reasons. But I've recently gone hiking and things, and I've posted pictures of these beautiful places that I was hiking. And my mom sends a text Saturday morning. Like she's an hour ahead of me. So it arrived on my phone at like 7:30. And it said, "Honey, I'd like to talk to you. I'm really concerned about you. I've seen all your pictures on Facebook and it looks like you're alone. And I just want to know if you're okay."
Looks like you're alone. You're hiking.
I was with my husband.
Yeah.
He really hates social media. So I'm not going to post a picture of him. Sure. That's just not,
sure.
It's not his thing. He's a very private individual. And I'm not going to post somebody's picture that doesn't want to be on Facebook. But what I've posted was these beautiful creeks and rivers and rock formations and just the most gorgeous things you've ever seen. And that's how she takes it, is that I'm alone and somehow just wandering off in the wilderness, like ready to jump off a cliff. I was really so pissed after that interaction, because first of all, she's like 83 maybe.
Yeah.
And she doesn't use Facebook very well. So I think she thinks that I posted that for her to see.
Okay.
Because she gets email notifications.
So she thinks it's just to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like, no, I said I was out hiking and I wasn't alone. But what a negative way to look at it, instead of, hey, that's a gorgeous thing. Where were you?
Exactly.
You know,
some people's filters just automatically, they take sunshine, rainbows and butterflies and turn them into poop.
Literally, because it was a beautiful sunny day and yeah. I was at one of the most beautiful places I'd been to in a long time. And all I did was just post a picture and said, I found some nature today.
Yeah.
That's it. I didn't give a whole description of what I had done that day. I didn't feel I needed to, but apparently I did, because I'm out in the wilderness wandering by myself and, you know, I need help.
Even if you were by yourself, that's a healthy, lovely thing to do. Go out for a walk and hike. And that's healthy. That's good. That's not. Yeah, I don't get. Yeah, I hear you. I completely hear you. I recently had some interactions where involving discussion, and I've avoided talking about it because I knew what I was going to get, because they won't agree. And then they're just going to tell me all the things they've already thought about 50 times. And I just want you to think about this. Like, I already did. I'm an adult, 40 years old. I've managed pretty well so far. So Harper, we're doing a charter homeschool is what we're doing this year.
Oh, yeah.
And she started going to regular school. Really wasn't a good fit for her. It never really has been a good fit for her. She's bored as hell. She blazes through everything right away, gets good grades, and just honestly doesn't relate very well to kids her age. But I get it.
Which is okay, by the way.
That's fine. That means you're smart. That means you're more advanced. And I was the exact same way. So I get exactly what she's going through. And then this other option kind of came up where it's actually run by part of the state. But it's more advanced, more one-on-one. She can knock out all of her schoolwork as it comes at her, which takes her all of like 40 minutes a day, as opposed to sitting there for 8 hours. And then I can use that time with her to do other things and teach her other things that she's interested in. So I got her sign up for some other classes and stuff outside of school to occupy those hours and get her into more things rather than just sit there and wait for every other child to get done with their stuff. I was the same way. And to me, it's a very positive thing. She's very happy, very excited about it. Has been loving it since we've been doing it. And it's all good on this end. And we're seeing all the reasons and positives. And we talked about it before we made this decision. and it wasn't just like a rash thing. And I get it. So I listen to her when she expresses concerns about this or that, and it's not her that's just making the decision. So of course, why is Harper with you? It was like 2:30 and we're at the grocery store. I'm like, oh yeah, well, she's doing a homeschool thing this year. What about socialization? What about the other kids? I said, oh, she's getting involved in other stuff. In fact, she has a field trip this weekend we're going on. And they do. They have things where the kids get together. And it was all, and I was trying to explain, you know, here's why we're doing it. And number one, she should know because I've already had these conversations with her before. Yeah. But every time it's like new news. And it's just met with a lot of quiet, a lot of kind of passive aggressive. Well, I just think you should think of that. Okay. Okay. Well, I'll let you go. Never like, oh, that's a good idea. That's a, you know, I hope, and it's met with, well, I hope that works out well. It's like very like passive aggressive. Like, I hope that works out well. No, you don't. You hope it fails so you can say that you're right is what it feels like. And it's like, and then what? You were right? Why would you want to be right? Why would you want to be right in that situation of saying that this won't work? And why? Just so you can say that when, like,
because
it means everything's not working well.
That whole narcissistic personality, they don't care about, you know, the fire that's left behind them. They care that they were right, that there was going to be a fire.
Exactly. Like, no, that's not. So I don't talk about these things or avoid them because I know what I'm going to get. And I don't get support where I should get support from a parent. And I've learned to accept that and understand that, but it's still, you know, you still kind of search for it and hope it's there, but no matter what, it's just, it's not adequate or it's very passive aggressive. And if you bring it up and talk about it, that's not how I was. That's not what I was saying. I totally like, no, whatever. Like, I don't care. I don't want to talk about it with you.
Just so draining. And after I interacted with my mom and those texts, I woke up and I was feeling great until I looked at my phone. And then I let that just bother me for hours. And I sent it to a family member. I took some screenshots and sent it. And I'm like, what do you think of this? And it was like, right to the negative.
Yeah.
You know? It just, if that's how some people are, is everything is just bad. And you almost have to convince them that something is good. Let's start from a neutral place and see what the situation is. It's always, no, this is horrible.
And it's interesting because it's not like everything in their lives is bad. Like, I'll hear about things that they do and it's positive and they're having fun. But it seems like anytime I talk about things in my world, it's always just kind of like, look, let's look out for the caveats of every pitfall that could possibly happen and scare you, which is what I grew up with. And I took years to break away from that sort of thinking. But it's right there to remind you and smack you in the face when you have those conversations to this day. And I swear it's getting worse with age.
Yes, I can attest to that because I've been watching it. And that is one of the reasons that I distanced myself from my mom, which really took a toll on me because I felt bad that here was this person who had instilled so much independence and strength in me. And I was like distancing myself from her because she was negative.
I know.
I understand when you get older that your body is breaking down. And I mean, my God, I'm experiencing that. You know, you wake up and go, oh my God, why does that hurt now?
Yeah.
So I understand. And it's tough, but I think also if you don't take time every day to look around and find something to be thankful for, because not every life situation is, not everyone is horrible.
Yeah.
You can find some positive things. Like, let's just say today is just the worst day ever, but look outside. For me right now, the sun is shining and it was raining recently. So this is a good thing to be thankful for. You can find something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm such a sponge. If you're going to be a negative Nelly, I'll jump on that train in a heartbeat. So I got to watch that stuff. And people who are negative and just always looking for the shit, I have to step away.
I do too. I can't do it anymore. And it consumes me too quickly. And that's why I have to be very cautious about that, because that sort of thinking, that way of life, that's because that's the way it really is with a lot of people. And I I'm very easy to fall into it because it was kind of my groove for a while, but yeah. It's like, no, I don't like this. I don't want that. I don't want to be part of this. It consumes me too much, but yeah. What do we got going on here in the story?
This next one, this one hit me really hard, and it was very short, but I think it's a really important one to throw out there. It says, my parents constantly make fun of me for having a close relationship with my cat. He sleeps in my bed every night and follows me around when I get home from school. He loves snuggles, and overall, he's just a sweetheart. My parents keep making jokes that I'm dating my cat, and it's making me a bit uncomfortable. I just love my cat, and I don't think that's weird. Now, excuse me. This is a person who just adores their pet. What's the problem here?
That I don't know. There really is no problem. I think people who get really jealous about something like that, or start, you know, pointing out this or that, it's one thing to make a quick joke here or there just to kind of break the ice. But if you're constantly on it, there's something more there for that person than just, you know, I made a joke. It's like, is there a jealousy going on here that, you know, you don't have a pet that you love or care about? Is there an emptiness in your life? It's something that they're filling that void with by, you know, making fun or trying to, you know, poke at somebody who's enjoying a positive thing in life.
Yeah. And there's something so wonderful about cats and dogs for that matter too. But you and I, we like cats. Pardon my coughing. They are an amazing pet to have. Yeah. And I even looked up some things that cat owners experience having a cat. Like they have proof that people who own cats have been reported to carry a lower risk for heart disease and stroke. They prevent allergies. I know, Tony, you're allergic to your cat, mm-hmm. but if you expose a child early on to felines, you can actually help a child with immunity and things like that. And they reduce feelings of loneliness. I think it's lovely that this person is enjoying their pet.
Yeah. And they'll eat you if you die. So,
well, and there's that too. So, I mean, it's the circle of life. Cats are a wonderful thing in that regard. They shit in a box. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to let them outside. And if you die in your sleep, they will eat you.
They'll shit you out in the box. So you'll still end up in a box. And yeah, so they will, it's a recycling program. They should have a little like recycling sticker branded on the side of them.
Absolutely. They are the most wonderful pet. And, you know, fuck these parents. I get a little emotional about it.
Mm-hmm. About me. About someone that's not keen on the kitties. Keen on the kitties. There's a sentence right there. I don't know. I don't get it. I do have, what about this? But what about this obsession? Tell me your thoughts on this with the cat. So yes, I have a cat, but he lives in the garage, and it's a big garage. So it's like an apartment that he lives in, and he has, you know, water and food and places to look out the window. And he, frankly, I've tried taking him outside on a leash. He hates it. Always hates it. Just wants to go back inside. He's very, very indoor cat. And I love to have him around the house. But again, I have allergies, so I'd like to breathe. But I do like having the cat. I see him all the time. My office is in the garage, so I see him. Sometimes I let him in here too. Anyway, take good care of the cat. We love the cat. Cat's not alone. But every time my mother visits, it's always immediately, how's the cat? Where's the cat? Is the cat being fed? And I go on vacation. Who's taking care of the cat?
Why?
I'm an adult. I can take care of these things. And why do you need to know?
Is your mom this big cat person?
She does love cats. She doesn't have a cat anymore. And I don't know why, because there's plenty of years left there. But I guess my dad said he doesn't want to have a cat, even though she does. So I guess they'd go with not having a cat. They're easy. And she knows she's had cats her whole life. That's the only animal I had growing up was a cat. So they're great for going on vacation, but I don't want to leave it if we're going on vacation. It's like, they don't care. Give them enough food. They're good.
Or just have somebody stop by like once while they're gone just to make sure everything's going okay.
Well, there's excuses for that too. I don't want to ask my sister anymore to come out here because it's such a trip. And there's always like 500 reasons why she can't have a cat. But the obsession on mine, almost more than me or my daughter of concern, is like a little unsettling. Because it's like, what is this? You know, do you want my cat? Are you trying to convince me to give you my cat? It's just kind of a lot of guilting and like, I wish you could be in that. I wish that cat could be in the house. Yeah, so do I. Thank you for that. And what is your
point? The cat is properly cared for. It's not like it's living out in a cold garage and, you know, it's snowing and it's cold.
No.
Your cat is very well taken care of.
It's heated and air conditioned.
I wouldn't be talking to you if you were abusing your cat. I would not even be part of this podcast. Yeah. I'm a fucking veterinary technician. That's no.
Yeah,
I would not be dealing with you if you were somebody who didn't take good care of your pets.
It's just like, I never know what to make of it. And I just, there's more worry and concern, I think, sometimes for the cat than there is for the people. But
well, I can get behind that. I'm all about it. I've been accused of loving my cats more than I love people. And I just kind of pause and go, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And I get it to a certain extent, but it's a constant judgment or questioning just basic duties of a pet ownership as if I've never had a pet. Or it's like I live on a farm. I have many pets and they're taken care of. And I've always had
pets. It's not, you know, you live on a farm, but you're also not eating your pets either, right?
No, I'm not. No.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the Cocker Spaniel last Thanksgiving that was pretty good.
Hey, now.
But
that's not the breed you want to go with for that, by the way.
Is there a breed that you should go with for eating a dog?
I do not want to get into that.
And how do you know this? This is an interesting piece of information here.
Probably lose my veterinary license, but there are societies that eat dog.
Yeah,
and I horribly disagree with it.
Yeah, what's the common breed? What, like, if somebody's, do they breed them to eat them too?
Yes, they do, just like we do with cows.
Oh gosh,
and it's really disturbing, and I have a hard time. Like, I can't even look at the pictures. I'm like, oh God, I can't.
So,
but there's specific breeds that tend to be
meatier, juicier, tender, tasty.
It's just horrible.
Bursting.
But I mean, I'm sure they're judging us too. I mean, in some societies, cows are sacred.
Yeah.
And we have restaurants where you can pull up in your car and get a piece of cow. So yeah, you know, it's just, it's really hard to pass judgment on other societies, but as somebody who grew up with a dog, I really struggle with that. It's not something I'm used to or care to think about, but it's a thing.
What,
and it's hard to watch.
Again, what breed are we talking about here?
I don't want to. Please don't make me say it.
In case I was hungry later and
no,
or the apocalypse happens and I have to eat one of the dogs.
Well, and here's another thing. In our country, the preferred dog to do medical studies on is a beagle.
Okay.
So that's a big one. And that one just breaks my heart. I mean, I'm not a beagle fan. I think they're great dogs, but I could never own one because they're so food driven. And the ones I've seen are just naughty, but it breaks my heart that there's a bunch of them sitting in kennels somewhere, you know, being tested on. So it's just hard, but I can't. You're going to make me cry.
Beagle meat? Is beagle one of them?
No.
Golden? Maybe. Lab?
No, not goldens. You're going to make me say it, aren't you?
I'm curious. Okay, I can probably Google this too, but I'll get on a list and then I'll start getting ads like, want imported dog meat? Like, no, it's just looking it up.
There is a society in think it's China, where they have a festival where thousands of dogs are consumed every year. Yeah, it's bad. We're not used to that. So we look at it and say it's horrible and bad. And it is. Don't get me wrong. Oh, it is bad.
There's pictures. The Lychee and Dog Meat Festival.
Yeah.
Is an annual festival held in Yulin, I don't know how to say it, China, during the summer solstice, in which festival goers eat dog meat and lychees. Lychees is a fruit, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
At least you got fruit in there. The festival began in 2009. And so it's not even like this ancient thing that they're carrying on. Like, it was brought up after 9/11 and spans about 10 days during which thousands of dogs are reportedly consumed. The festival has drawn criticism internationally. I would imagine so. Oh, my God.
And don't forget, a lot of these are strays or pets that may have been stolen. It's not good.
Dog meat by region. This is the thing on Wikipedia. Dog meat by region.
Yeah.
We are
not a country that does this, but there are many countries that actually do consume dog meat.
Yeah. They do.
In this country, you would be charged with a crime.
It's different cultures, different things where it's a norm. It just has never been a norm in our world, in our area. It's something I would not participate in if I was curious, but no.
Oh God, no. No, you, no. Mm-mm. You couldn't, no.
Just a taste, just a little.
Oh,
I am disturbed by the amount of pictures on Wikipedia.
See, I can't even look. I look into their eyes and it just breaks my soul see that. So,
buddy, look at this picture. Look at this plate of meat.
Can't.
Yeah, that's he doesn't even like looking at it. A little balsamic on there, and I can't tell what breed these are because they're all shaved.
Okay. Next story.
Continue on.
You are killing me.
Okay, continue on.
I can't. But back to our story.
Yeah,
I think it's weird that kid's parents are criticizing him for loving his pet, and it's just they need to get over it. And you're doing a great thing by loving your cat. Oh my God! Ugh.
There was a great dog butchery in Paris.
Stop it!
There's like a big sign, and it Grande Boucherie Canine. It's horrible. This is horrible.
It is horrible. It is. You will hug your dog so hard today. It's just, it's the worst story.
Oh my God. Okay. Continue on to something. All right. Dog
so our next story, I got married in March and I've had some time to calm down, but at the time I was livid among other emotions. I shouldn't be surprised by my sister doing any of this. Growing up, she had to be the center of attention. We had to do what she wanted, etc. So it's my wedding day. The guest list is limited. I don't like being around many people, so we had like 24 guests. My mom and dad, his dad and stepmom, his mom had passed from cancer, my four siblings minus one, their dates, his one brother and his date, my closest two best friends in the world and their dates, and his four closest friends and their dates. Everything was going perfectly. We set our vows, and then I later learned that she appeared during our vows but stayed hidden. The she is the sister. Okay. We had our reception, and that's where I thought she showed up. I was like, you know what? It's my wedding. It's fine. I'll let her crash. I still won't forgive her, but maybe she's here to make up with me. I was going to be the forgiving person, but I was wrong. We had an incident, and because of that incident, I decided to cut her off. Since people have called her a bitch and asshole and told her she shouldn't have treated me like that, I didn't tell anyone what had happened between us, just told people that I'm not happy with her and I need my distance. So at my wedding, I'm having a good time with my husband, dancing horribly, and my sister grabs me. I realize she's drunk, and so does my new husband. He tells her to go. She refuses. She calls me all types of names and tries to fight me. This is at a wedding.
It's great.
Tries to fight me. My husband takes her away before she can do any damage, but it just sucked. I'm the youngest in the family, and I'm usually the forgotten one. There's six of us, so my family had this mindset. Been to one event, you've been to them all, so I don't get any extra attention, and it was actually nice to finally have some attention.
Yeah.
But it sucked. Not surprised that she doesn't think she did anything wrong this time or the other time either, and hasn't even apologized for either of her actions. The reason I'm writing this now is because my family's telling me how I need to forgive her and that family is everything. And I'm just sick of constantly hearing about it. Like, why should I let somebody like that around me because they're family? If it was a friend, they'd tell me to cut that friend off because she's my sister. I have to forgive her. So as of now, I'm barely talking to any family members who believe in this type of mindset. It makes me sad, but I suppose it needed to happen. Wow.
Yeah, I get it. There's a lot of that, like, well, but they're family. Who fucking cares?
Yeah. Like, it's your sister. You know, yeah. You only have one sister, or in this case, several, but.
Yeah. Many. No. Yeah. If they're doing bad things and they continue to pull you down, why? Like, it's like, but they're the only ones that are there for you. They're clearly not there for me. They're clearly doing harm to me. But I don't know. I mean, if you have an idyllic family, you may look at this and go, well, yeah, but most people don't have an idyllic family. There's always something going on with somebody. And you're constantly trying to figure out the emotional states that they throw you into that you wouldn't put up with another human being if they weren't related to you by blood.
Yeah. And showing up drunk at your sister's wedding. Okay. I guess I don't know enough about alcoholics, but was this a stressful thing for you to even think about going to, so much so that you had to be drunk?
Yeah. I mean, people drink at weddings, obviously, especially in Wisconsin.
I
think most weddings in Wisconsin, 90% of the people are drunk. But they're, you know, if you're behaving, okay, whatever, you know. But if you're going to start fighting people, that's a whole other ball of...
No. Yeah, and I've seen some police reports from weddings where, you know, the police have been called to the reception because shit's just getting out of hand. And it's usually the ones that have open bar and people... Uh-huh. Don't know how to police themselves.
Very, very much so. My favorite wedding I've ever been to, the bride left the groom during the first dance.
What do you mean left?
Like, got in the car and left. Slapped him and left. What? I was DJing it. I don't know, 16, 17. And it was a very white trash wedding. And they're doing their dance. I don't remember what the song was. And you can tell there's like they're arguing as the dance is going on.
Then, oh, no.
Then she stands back, slaps him, and then storms out, gets in her car and leaves. And no one knows what happened or why. And I'm like, like, what do I play next?
I'll survive.
Well, Meredith. Well, we someone requested Meredith Brooks, so we played that. And
nice.
And then
that would be bitch, right?
Yes, and I don't know if that was appropriate or not. But then the family who was paying for all of it was like, well, we got all of our friends here. Let's just make this a party. So we continued to play for the remainder of the evening, and it just turned into kind of a party of people dancing, and the bride never returned.
Oh, I want to know how that ended.
Murder, suicide. No, I don't know.
Oh, just can you imagine, though? I mean, it must have been, I'm thinking, something really bad. Like, oh, hey, by the way, your maid of honor, I slept with her last night.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Something bad enough for her to leave her wedding and not come back. So I'm thinking that probably this was almost 20 years ago. Probably still not together. If I were to be a betting person, but hey, you never know.
I don't know how you recover from that.
No, I don't really think there is a way to recover from that. But there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. If you got a crazy family story, send it to us. Crazyfampod.com is the website, or you can call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 833-CRAY-FAM, 833-CRAY-FAM to share your crazy family story with us. Until next time, for Stacy, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
My
crazy,
crazy
family,
family,
my
crazy
family.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.